bringing business to life. This is Jazz in the City, brought to you by Aberdeen Asset Management, a pure asset management company.
Jazz FM.
This is Jazz in the City on Jazz FM.
Hello and welcome to Jazz in the City. I'm David Priever, sitting in for our boys Paul Kavanagh and Andy Brough. In the next hour, we enjoy another stimulating conversation and hear a selection of jazz, soul and blues from somebody who I'm very excited to meet. This week, on the eve of the centenary celebration of International Women's Day, we spend an hour in the company of Dr. Rosanna Peeling, Professor and Chair of Diagnostics Research at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Her career has been defined, I hope she'll agree, by her focus on female health. Welcome to the programme, Dr. Peeling. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, I'm looking forward to this very much. We just heard the first of your song choices, Ella Fitzgerald with Louis Armstrong, classic Summertime. Why did you choose that, first of all?
I love the song because when I was growing up in Hong Kong, even though I love school, I love my summer holidays more. And summertime is the time that, you know, we could do whatever we wanted. And so I divided my time between sailing and volunteering, doing work with different communities. And it was a great time.
What was it like growing up in Hong Kong? Was it fun?
There was a lot of academic pressure to do well. Chinese parents typically do that to you.
We've heard about this a lot lately, actually.
Yes, from Tiger Mums.
That's right, yes.
Well, I was
one of
those.
Were you the child of a Tiger
Mum?
Yes.
Yes, a lot of expectations. And I think to an extent it's very good. It builds discipline and also... builds character, I suppose, because you really have to tough it out.
As has been proven in your professional life, which we'll come on to. But this idea of the Tiger Mum, what does it actually mean? I mean, it's a slang term.
Yeah.
But it is all about academic discipline and rigor, mm-hmm. and not much fun, actually, is what it seems. Is that right?
No. I should say that there's a time for fun, but there's a time to work. And so even during the summer, my dad always made sure that we do a little bit of work for schoolwork. And then the rest of the time, if he's satisfied that we've done our work well, then we could have fun doing whatever we wanted. Then I could go sailing. Then I could go listening to music.
Isn't that true of a lot of Far Eastern cultures? I know that's true, particularly of the Japanese culture.
Yes.
That there is the time for work, very yes. serious, no fun yeah. at all. And then when it's time to play, you play hard.
Yes.
Did you play hard?
I certainly make every minute count of the free time that I had. And so I was one of the first girls to sign up for the Duke of Edinburgh's award scheme in Hong Kong. And so I had lots of activities through that scheme. And so I was spending almost all my time doing that. Apart from, I was also house captain at school, so I was doing a lot of sports. So seems like this.
What other music did you grow up listening to?
Mostly listening to classical music because my father played classical music at home. But he also liked, you know, Louis Armstrong, Nat King Cole. So we were exposed to that. And then gradually we just got into Beatles and that's it.
And a lot of rock and roll.
Yes.
Do you have much time for music in your life now?
Yes, actually, since coming to London. London is a great place to experience all kinds of music, jazz, just the candlelight concerts at the Academy St. Martin's in the Fields and the Festival Hall, etc. It's great. I love being here.
Let's get on to your second choice. Some Diana Krall, fabulous vocalist. Why Diana Krall?
Quiet nights. That's when I'm most creative. That's when I, you know, like to shut everything out and think of what I'd like to do and what possibilities, you know, I could create for my work, for others, etc.
So you work into the evenings, do you? You're a night
yes,
bird.
Yes, I'm a night owl.
It is a special time of the day, isn't it, when you know the phone isn't going to ring?
Yes, yes, it's wonderful. I love the almost the the silence, yeah, that I could get to really concentrate on what I do.
And here's Diana Krall from her 2009 album, here's the title track, Quiet Nights, on Jazz FM's Jazz in the City. Diana Krall, delightful. That's Quiet Nights from her 2009 album, Quiet Nights, of the same name. My guest is Dr. Rosanna Peeling on Jazz FM's Jazz in the City. You, Diana Krall is from Canada, of course. You spent some time in Canada.
Yes, I after high school in Hong Kong, I actually went to Canada to go to university. And there I met my husband, and so got married. And so we still call Canada our home.
Do you really? And do you have citizenship?
Yes, I do. Yes. I guess for me, Canada represents a country where there is no sort of dominant indigenous community. It's such a melting pot of different cultures. It's actually very, very stimulating to be in that kind of community.
I'm always curious when I meet people with such impressive CVs as yours is, whether your career path has been planned or whether it was a series of fortunate accidents, if I can use that word. Can I take you right back to your school days in Hong Kong? What were your goals and aims then? Did you have a dream to do the work you're doing now, or did you literally lurch from one discipline to another and end up in the work that you're doing?
Well, I must say, my career wasn't planned. When I was in school, my biggest ambition, I'm afraid to say, is that I wanted to be a librarian because I love reading, and I thought that if I get a career as a librarian, I could just read all I want.
Which makes sense.
But when I was actually going to university, just quite accidentally, I had 3 credit hours to fill, which is like a half course, and I took a microbiology course. And it was what they used to call a terminal course. That means you wouldn't go on in a career. Mm. And so it's all about fun things like going out to breweries to see how microbiology actually works, you know, in producing beer, etc. And the teacher was, you know, really, really having a lot of fun, and we were having a lot of fun. And his last 4 lectures were on infectious diseases. And that's when I got hooked. I thought, wow, this is really a great field to get into. So I changed completely, and my graduate work was in microbiology.
And was it as though a light had gone off, as though you thought, yeah, wow, this is it for me. This is what I'm really, really interested in.
That's right, how these microbes can cause so much havoc.
See, it's fascinating that that's the thing that you... Are you familiar with Sir Ken Robinson, the professor of education? I recommend you read some of his stuff. He's the author of this book called The Element, uh-huh, in which he says that finding your passion in life is the key to happiness and success and contentment in all things. Fabulous read, I recommend it. And he talks about this idea of the element, and he said it can be the most extraordinary thing either that you go out and search for or that can, mm-hmm, just happen. And he describes it as though somebody has flicked a switch. And that sounds as though exactly what happened to you. You found, almost by mistake, your, mm-hmm, element.
Yes, that's right. And from just trying to look through the university handbook for a course to fill my 3 credit hours.
And you thought, that's it for me. Extraordinary. We'll talk more in a second. Let's have your third choice. This is Aretha Franklin's Respect. Why have you chosen Aretha Franklin?
Okay, so that takes me to my work that I was, started to do in graduate school. I was doing my PhD on a bacteria called chlamydia, which... You know, my
the invisible disease. Is that,
yes, exactly, the invisible epidemic, because it causes sexually transmitted diseases. It causes eye disease, and it's a leading cause of preventable blindness. And but most people who are infected wouldn't know it. So I was fascinated with that, and I was doing my PhD to look at how this microorganism can cause so much pathogenesis in human cells. But at the same time, I was in a department of medical microbiology, so I was exposed to all the clinical side of medicine. And I was exposed to the fact that a lot of women unknowingly contacted chlamydia from a partner that they may not know who it was. And eventually, this silent disease actually caused them infertility. And there are other sexually transmitted diseases that are like that. Syphilis, for example, is also asymptomatic. But the effect of syphilis in pregnancy is that the child could be stillborn, or that the child could be born with congenital syphilis, which in the developing world would mean that they only survive, 50% of them survive in the first year of life. And so I was really fascinated by how a lot of women, they fail to produce a child, which is in developing countries a really big deal, right? If you're infertile, if you are not able to somehow produce a son to perpetuate the family name, you get absolutely no respect. But it may not be their own fault. Their infection, they could have caught from their husband or from their sexual partners, but they didn't know it. So they always blame themselves, unless they, you know, were aware of these diseases.
I think that's one of the most elegant introductions to a song I've ever heard, which is why you've chosen Respect from Aretha Franklin. All right, let's hear it now.
Jazz in the City on Jazz FM, brought to you by Aberdeen Asset Management, a pure asset management company.
This is Jazz FM's Jazz in the City. I'm David Priebus, sitting in for Paul Kavanagh and Andy Brough. And on the eve of the centenary celebration of International Women's Day, I'm spending an hour with Dr. Rosanna Peeling, Professor and Chair of Diagnostics and Research at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and also a recipient of the Young Men's Young Women's Christian Association Women of Distinction Award, among many other accolades that you have. You have a very heavy mantelpiece, I would imagine, at home, Doctor.
Yes.
And you're very modest as well. Let's talk about some of your work at the moment then. The world's most virulent diseases, I would guess. What are the top three at the moment? Is it HIV, malaria?
And TB.
TB, I would say,
yes. Yes, we call these three diseases of mass destruction.
Wow, that's powerful. And yet, they are all preventable.
Yes, we do have the drugs. Well, for HIV, perhaps it would be better if we had a vaccine, but with drugs, I think most cases are being managed well.
We hear, don't we, occasionally in the West about the resurgence of diseases that we thought were wiped out generations ago. Mm. Particularly recently, we've been talking about a resurgence of measles in some cities in the UK,
yes,
with parents deciding against immunizing their children with a triple vaccine. That must be deeply upsetting for somebody in your profession to see that diseases that we shouldn't be talking about are in the news.
Well, I think we need to think about diseases in terms of how a society is able to incorporate health messages. Quite often, when we work from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, or when I was working at the World Health Organization, we focus on the technology. If we have immunization, if we have a new drug, we focus on how technically to get the drugs out there or the vaccine out there. But we forget the human equation in this. You know, how do we ensure that the society is able to understand our concerns, and also, you know, the political context, the socio-economic context of introducing a new technology, introducing a new intervention for a disease. I think we need to work more with those sort of multidisciplinary types.
So it's not as simple as here's a vaccine or here's a cure.
No, unfortunately not.
If only it were. How is the world performing at the moment with HIV management and prevention? That face you're pulling tells me that the answer's not good.
I think there's been huge advances made in terms of understanding of the disease and how it's caused. But in terms of a vaccine, it's still years away. Recently, there's been some interventions such as male circumcision that could be shown to be, lowering the risk of acquisition. And also, of course, you know, there's the old traditional message about using condoms and also safe sex. These are all, you know, very important prevention messages that we still have to get out to, especially young people.
Right. This is Jazz FM's Jazz in the City. I'm with Dr. Rosanna Peeling. You have a fantastic job title, by the way. Does that fit on the business card? Professor and Chair of Diagnostics Research at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. And let's have your next choice of music. Some Peggy Lee. Why have you chosen this? Is it just the title of the song?
It's actually... it's because every time I come into work at the London School, this is what malaria and fever is what comes to mind, because the school has a wonderful tradition of doing excellent research, and of course they have one of the biggest grants from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for malaria. So there is a malaria center at the school that does a lot of really outstanding research around the world.
Right, let's hear the tune. It's Peggy Lee's Fever on Jazz FM's Jazz in the City.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, a fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, a fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever, that is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing, fever started long ago. Romeo loved Juliet, Juliet she felt the same. When he put his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame, thou givest fever. When we kiss, it's fever with thy flaming youth. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yea, I burn forsooth. Captain Smith and Pocahontas had a very mad affair. When her daddy tried to kill him, she said, Daddy, oh, don't you dare give me fever. With his kisses, fever, when he holds me tight. Fever, I'm his missus. Daddy, won't you treat him right? Now you've listened to my story. Here's the point that I have made. Chicks were born to give you fever, be it Fahrenheit or centigrade, to give you fever. When you kiss them, fever, if you live, you learn. Fever, till you sizzle. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way.
Jazz FM's Jazz in the City. I'm David Prever with Dr. Rosanna Peeling, Professor and Chair of Diagnostics Research at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, playing her choice of music and talking about her world. Peggy Lee and Fever, one of your choices there. And I've just noticed, of course, that all these artists that we're playing that you've chosen are women, and you're here with us on the eve of the centenary celebration of International Women's Day. Do you listen to mostly female artists at home? Or?
Not particularly, but I think that on this occasion is really important to celebrate the achievements of women, and while we've, you know, sort of made great strides, we hold up half the sky.
That's a nice phrase.
We still have a long ways to go, and this year actually the UN has launched an agency just for women called UN Women, and so. Really, things are happening.
About time, too. We were just talking about malaria. You mentioned the work that the school does on malaria. Jazz FM's adopted charity is Malaria No More. There's more details on our website at jazzfm.com. Is malaria something you're very involved in?
We are currently seeking funding for a project that uses different rapid diagnostics to diagnose HIV, malaria, and syphilis and anemia for pregnant women. So it's a prenatal care package that would ensure that the children born to these women are safe.
And you were doing healthy. A lot of Save the Children are involved in some of your work as well at the moment. Tell me about that.
Not at the moment, but Save the Children has launched a very, very good campaign called No Child Born to Die. And this is similar to a project that we're doing, funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, on using rapid diagnostics to screen for syphilis in pregnancy so that their children would not die.
Is there a frustration with your work when you turn up in the morning and you sit down at your desk and think, what am I going to do today? Is there a frustration that you want to move everything very, very quickly and you have this opportunity, this powerful position in your particular area, and so much that you want to achieve, and yet you have to go at the pace of other people? Is that frustrating?
I think that comes with most jobs. and I think that more and more with all the connectivity that we have right now, everything is happening very quickly. And I was particularly pleased with all our collaborators around the world that have managed to implement our projects so effectively that governments have actually changed policy because of the work that they've done. And so I think that we are in a pretty good place where governments are listening, and there's a lot more evidence-based medicine now being practiced. And so I love going to work.
Exciting times.
Yes.
I wonder if there's ever there'll be a time where you're out of a job, because that would be the ultimate definition of having done the job well, I guess. Or is that stupidly naive?
No, we're still looking for the ultimate diagnostic, which is like a tricorder in the Star Trek movies, where we point
an
instrument.
Speaking the language, your reference points, I can understand these, yes.
So we could point this instrument at you and we could diagnose everything that's wrong with you and repair your DNA in 5 seconds.
I like the idea of that very much. All my questions here, I'm worried that they're naive, but is it the case that most diseases are preventable through fresh water and education and diet? Is it that simple?
Well, that's a big part of it. Yeah. I think that if you look at the history of what happened in the world, say for trachoma, for example, the leading cause of blindness, and that used to be quite prevalent in what we now know as the developed world, and it's just with improved hygienic conditions that the disease went away. So it's not always dependent on medicines or vaccines.
Let's have your next choice of music. What a Wonderful World. Of course, the song that I think Louis Armstrong wrote, I think I'm right in saying. Why have you chosen this piece of music?
Well, I'm forever being accused of being too optimistic. And so I, especially on sunny days when you just feel so wonderful to be alive.
But you have this to be optimistic in your work, don't you? Yes. If you went into the office and said, oh no, we're not going to, we'll never cure that. They wouldn't
yes,
want you there, would they?
I know. If you listen to the statistics, how many children die a day, for example, as we're talking already, for example, for TB, 2 million lives are lost through TB every year. So you can imagine every day, hundreds of people die from TB. So you cannot be depressed and sort of immobilized by these kind of statistics. I think you need to look for the silver lining in everything that you do.
All right, let's hear the song.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
This is Jazz in the City on Jazz FM, brought to you by Aberdeen Asset Management, a pure asset management company.
This is Jazz FM's Jazz in the City. I'm David Priever, sitting in for our boys, Paul Kavanagh and Andy Brough. Dr. Rosanna Peeling is my guest this hour. The work that you're doing, Rosanna, you're obviously making great strides. Is it 4 steps forward, 5 steps back? Some days are good, some days are bad. Is that how it feels to you sometimes?
Yes, because the quote is, medicine without diagnostics is blind. And I guess traditionally, when you talk about medicine, people always associate that with treatment and not the diagnostics. So, and in the developing world, a lot of people have no access to diagnostics because there are not that many laboratories in their countries.
And we take it so for granted,
exactly,
in the West,
exactly,
that you have a blood test and the bike arrives and takes the blood round to a laboratory and you have the results within a few hours.
Yes, yes. And yet that's certainly not the case for many countries. Can you imagine if you're ill or you're pregnant and you have to walk 12 kilometers to get to a clinic? And even then, when you get to the clinic, they may be out of stock for a test or for medicine. And so I guess we don't realize how well off we are.
What are the biggest barriers to your work succeeding? Is it, you talked a lot about multi-agency approaches and trying to get everybody on board politically and funding. So what are your biggest frustrations?
Well, I think I, on the one hand, advocacy, that diagnostics is important, that you need to practice evidence-based medicine instead of treating presumptively with antibiotics when somebody has fever. And because we know the consequence of that, that's led to antibiotic resistance. We're losing, you know, antibiotics very quickly. But also, we're not truly finding out what's wrong with them. And quite often, it's not a bacterial infection. And so I think advocating is one thing, and then funding is another. Yeah. For example, for this syphilis project, we actually calculated that there are approximately 50 million pregnant women in the world that have no access to diagnostics. And through this project, we found out that it only costs $2 to screen these women. So can you imagine $100 million would save many, many babies' lives? And if you think about it, that's like the bonus for like two bankers.
Yes. Without the funding that you get from the foundation, from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, where would you be? Where would the center be?
Well, I think that I certainly am really grateful to the generosity of the Gates Foundation, but there are a lot of agencies who are actually putting in-kind contributions. The university is of London is very, very supportive of our program. And so we're confident that we will get more funding. But in these days of financial crisis, I think that we need to really make sure that everybody works together because there's not so much money around and we do need to have everybody on board.
And are Bill and Melinda quite hands-on with the work? Will you get calls late at night saying, how's it going? Or do they let you get on with it and wait to read your reports?
Well, I do get calls late at night only because Seattle is 8 hours later.
Yes.
And so, they're wonderful funders. And I think they've really, really improved the state of global health.
All right, let's have your final choice of music. This is Sarah Vaughan. Why have you chosen Sarah Vaughan?
I think with all this talk, and actually I must credit the UK government with protecting the funding for global health in spite of the financial crisis and their realization that there are a lot of more people who are worse off than we are. And so I think that with the commitment of funding from different funders, different governments, and WHO, and all the people in developing countries working really hard to make projects happen, I think the best is yet to come.
Beautifully done. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to enjoy your company for the last hour. Dr. Rosanna Peeling, good luck with your continued work. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very
Here's,
much.
Here's Sarah Vaughan, the best is yet to come on Jazz FM.
Starting to hum. Still.
best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
Sarah Vaughan's The Best Is Yet To Come. And on the eve of International Women's Day, thank you to my guest, Dr. Rosanna Peeling, Professor and Chair of Diagnostics Research at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. This has been Jazz FM's Jazz in the City. The boys will be back next Monday for another conversation with a big name from the world of business, whilst listening to some of their favourite jazz, soul and blues. The news at 7 is next, followed by Dinner Jazz with Sarah Vaughan.
This is Jazz in the City on Jazz FM. Brought to you by Aberdeen Asset Management, a pure asset management company.